Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Stu does America.
Ah, the best of Kamala Harris's Veep thoughts. Go there, rank them, veepthoughts.com. And like your favorites, we'll play the top videos coming up around the holidays. Got a special Veep Thoughts show to kind of remember all the hell you've been put through over the past few years. Go to StuDoesMerch.com. StuDoesMerch.com as well. Get your Stu Does America gear for the holidays. You can use the code STU10 and you will save 10% off your entire order. Josh Hammer is going to be here to talk about Trump's choice of Kash Patel to head up the FBI. We look at the latest member of the Glenn Beck family to make a splash in the entertainment business. But we're going to start by doing the pardon of Hunter Biden. Yes, it is a moment that is the most predictable thing that has ever occurred. There was not one second of my entire life, once we knew all this was going on, Joe Biden was president, there was not one second where I did not think he was going to do this. There was never a moment, no matter how many times he said he wasn't going to do it, that I thought he wasn't going to do it. We all knew this was coming. I'm not surprised at all. It is in some ways totally unbelievable, but in other ways, it's totally, totally believable and exactly the plot twist you'd expect. It's like an explosion in an action movie. Like, oh, wow, an explosion. Who would have expected that to see coming? I don't know. I saw it in the trailer, so I kind of knew it was coming. We knew this was going to happen, and this is just reflective of who Joe Biden is. Joe Biden is not an old, harmless guy. He is not a super nice guy. He's not a dad who's had a tough time. He's a bad guy. He's a bad, corrupt Washington guy. He's been this way for a very long time. Yes, he does care. He has loyalty to his family members who have helped him with God knows how many millions of dollars brought into the family. But he's not a good guy. He's not a guy who is based in any sort of principle, except helping himself. That's who he is. And just please, can we stop with all the talk about Trump? Can we stop at all the Trump about the idea of Trump getting justice, of Trump protecting his own, of Trump being loyal? Can we stop with all that now? Finally, can we be done with that? Biden issues a full and unconstitutional pardon, not quite, but an unconditional pardon of his son, Hunter Biden. He put out a long statement here. Let me give it to you. This is a statement from President Joe Biden, who I'm sure typed this himself. He says, "Today, I signed a pardon for my son, Hunter. From the day I took office, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision making. And I kept my word." No, you didn't. That's what this letter is about. "I kept my word even as I've watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted." Well, if you're not getting in the way of the Justice Department, you're not making that judgment. Like, that's the whole point, is the Justice Department is the one that makes that department that judgment, not you. Anyway, "without aggravating factors like use in a crime, multiple purchases, or buying a weapon as a straw purchaser, most people are almost never brought to trial on felony charges solely for how they filled out a gun form. Those who were late paying their taxes because of serious addictions, but paid them back subsequently with interest and penalties, are typically given non-criminal resolutions. It is clear that Hunter was treated differently." I mean, some of that's kind of accurate in that, like, it's not typical that you have these things elevated. We should also make sure, though, that, you know, he didn't pay his taxes back. He had his friend pay his taxes back for him. Some very shady relationship with some guy who just, like, out of the goodness of his heart, just gave him millions of dollars. So that whole thing's super shady as well. "The charges in these cases came about only after several of my political opponents in Congress instigated them to attack me and oppose my election. Then a carefully negotiated plea deal agreed to by the Department of Justice unraveled in the courtroom, with a number of my political opponents in Congress taking credit for bringing political pressure on the process. Had the plea deal held, it would have been a fair, reasonable resolution of Hunter's cases." Now, this is basically, this was their attempt to brush all of this under the carpet initially, and it failed in front of a court because it was so completely insane. It was the type of agreement that they'd never even seen before. And that's why it blew up in court, not because of political pressure. "No reasonable person who looks at the facts of Hunter's cases can reach any other conclusion than Hunter was singled out because he is my son, and that is wrong. There has been an effort to break Hunter, who has been 5.5 years sober. I doubt it. I should point out, President Biden didn't put I doubt it in the actual letter. That was me giving my perspective on that. He's been 5.5 years sober, even in the face of unrelenting attacks and selective prosecution. In trying to break Hunter, they've tried to break me, and there's no reason to believe it will stop here. Enough is enough. For my entire career, I have followed a simple principle: just tell the American people the truth. It is beyond impossible to overstate how egregious this line is, because the entire thing is explaining that he was lying to the American people the entire time. And then here he is with, for my entire career, I follow a simple principle: just tell American people the truth. Really, Joe, are you telling the people the truth? Because you told us over and over and over again that you wouldn't pardon your son, but they say they'll be fair-minded. Here's the truth. I believe in the justice system, but as I've wrestled with this, I also believe raw politics has infected this process and led to a miscarriage of justice. And once I made this decision this weekend, there was no sense in delaying it further. I hope Americans will understand why a father and a president would come to this decision. Well, I kind of do understand why a father would do it. Father's trying to protect his son. Now, that is a bad instinct for a father to have, not general protection, but protection to eliminate the criminal activities of your son. It's a bad instinct to say, you know what? I want to get my kid out of jail. I don't want him to face the consequences everybody else does. I want him to have treatment that, you know, like a normal criminal wouldn't have. Why? Well, because he's my son. Like, that is actually really natural for a father to have that instinct. However, it's not a good instinct. Kids should be able to face the consequences of their own actions. I mean, I'm sure you struggle with that with your kids at times. If they go in, they do something wrong at school, there is that part of you that's like, I hope I can just get them out of this one. You know, that instinct's normal for a parent, because you don't want your kid to suffer. You don't want kid to go through hard times. But those hard times create character. And also, when you're the president of the United States and you're overseeing a country that has a constitution and a rule of law, it's even more important for you to not play favorites with this type of process. Now, the pardon is not just a pardon for the gun crime, not just a pardon for the tax crime. It's a pardon for all the crimes, known and unknown, not in a couple month period or a couple week period, but in an 11-year period. Here it is. The pardon gives Hunter Biden a pass on any crimes committed between January 1st, 2014 and December 1st, 2024. For you mathematicians out there, when you count them individually, that's 11 years. This 10-year window, it's not a 10-year window. This 10-year window of clemency not only lets him off the hook for his felony conviction on gun charges and for his felony tax offenses, but also conveniently overlaps with the Biden's scandalous dealings with the Ukrainian company Burisma, where Hunter was appointed director in 2014, as well as with the communist state linked organization CAEFC, China Energy, and other questionable foreign entities. Now, so this was not just a, you know, it'd be one thing to say, okay, look, I've looked at these cases, a couple of these crimes, they look like he's getting too much of a punishment for it. I don't like it. I'm going to pardon him. Still would be weak, but okay, fine. This is well beyond that. And I will say the whole thing is just weird, isn't it? The pardon power to me really feels un-American. Just generally, the idea that the president can just like wipe out another branch of the government's judgment is kind of strange, isn't it? It feels like the type of power a king would have. And I don't know. I don't like it. I certainly don't like it in this type of usage where you're just broadly giving, 11 years of blanket immunity for criminal action. Like, what is that? Now, by the way, he could still be charged in states if any enterprising prosecutor wants to go after him. Not much to complain about here, I suppose, in some ways, because this is the way we've looked at this power. The pardon power is really sweeping. There's nothing you can really do about it. He can kind of do whatever he wants here. I think maybe we should think about looking at that for the future. I don't know if that's the right thing. I know we've had it for a couple hundred years. I know the founders did it for a reason. I don't know. It doesn't feel right. But this is a presidential power. We understand how parents' minds work. And sometimes they work like this. The biggest problem here is not necessarily even the pardon. It's the fact that he said over and over and over and over and over again to our faces that he wasn't going to do this specific thing. I mean, it's not like before he was like, this seems like a fair prosecution. And then at the end of it was like, wow, I got to pardon it because it turned out to be unfair. He thought it was unfair the entire time. We know he was going to do this the entire time and is doing it anyway. So why lie about it? Let me give you some examples of this. Here's Joe Biden talking about this in June 2024 with David Muir.
But let me ask you, will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?
Yes.
And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
Yes, I've ruled it out.
There wasn't like a qualifier. As long as it's fair, like that's the qualifier they always want from Trump with the election. Will you accept these election results? And he always says, well, yeah, as long as it's fair. This was not even that. This was just like, no matter what it is, I'll accept it until the moment I tell you I don't accept it. Here he is in June 2024 again. This is in Italy.
I'm extremely proud of my son, Hunter. He has overcome an addiction. He's one of the brightest, most decent men I know. And I am satisfied that I'm not going to do anything. I said I abide by the jury decision. And I will do that, and I will not pardon him.
He absolutely knew he was lying there, as well as the last clip. Of course, Corinne Jean-Pierre, it's hard to know if she knows she's lying. A lot of times she's just reading words. She's probably never even seen them before. She could barely sound them out. But here are a bunch of examples of her telling us that he was not going to pardon Hunter Biden.
Second one, would the president pardon or commute his son if he's convicted?
So I've answered this question before. It was asked of me not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and I was very clear and I said no.
Okay. Let me go back to the first question of the briefing. I know you said not a lot's changed since yesterday and that it's a personal matter, but from a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
Again, you've also said several times that the president would not pardon or commute the sentence for his son, Hunter. I just want to make sure that that is not going to change over the next 6 months. The president's saying he would not.
It's still a no. It's still a no.
It will always be a no.
It's still a no. It will be a no. It is a no. And I don't have anything else to add. Will he pardon his son? No.
So clear. By the way, I love all the pastel colors. That was a very nice Easter egg hunt of outfits from Corinne Jean-Pierre. I think she was clear. No, he's not going to do it, of course, until the second that he does it. Now, of course, any idiot, any moron should have known that this was going to happen. This is exactly the second he didn't need it for politics, the second he could get it cleared and not have to worry about votes, he didn't have to worry about the American people anymore, he was going to do this. That is not a surprise at all. Why didn't the media pick up on this? Not only did they not ask a lot of questions about it, you heard a couple there of a polite questioning, but no real pushing on this. And of course, it wasn't just that they didn't ask, they also kind of like obsessively went along with this charade the entire time. John Harwood said, people who insist Biden will pardon Hunter after specifically ruling it out are telling on themselves. They can't imagine someone acting on principle and keeping his word. By the way, nice little fat community note on that one there saying, by the way, he did pardon Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Also, we should note, in case you're interested and don't believe me, that this decision was made months and months and months ago. TMZ also has a report out today that the president made a pardon decision months ago. White House connected sources with direct knowledge tell TMZ that Biden had this plan for more than 3 months. Our sources say President Biden was not involved in Hunter's case in any way until June of last year when a plea deal was rejected by the judge. We're told he was agitated at the reversal and felt his son had become a political pawn. Now, look, a lot of times you believe things about your kids that aren't real. You think they're better kids than they are. You think your kid's not annoying when he's running through the aisles of the airplane. Everyone thinks he's adorable. Probably not. You know, a lot of parents get this sort of vibe of their kids. But you're not supposed to act on it as president of the United States. Now, this is going to be a comical week, and I will bring to you as many of these examples as I can of people trying to justify the actions of President Biden of lying all of this time. But let's start off here with Corinne Jean-Pierre asking about, hey, you know the thing you told us 100 times over the past few months? Why were you lying all that time? Watch.
You have said repeatedly yourself since the election, the president has said for months, no pardon was coming. I wanted to ask you, could those statements now be seen as lies from the American people? Is there really a credibility issue here given now this announcement?
First of all, one of the things that the president always believes is to be truthful to the American people. That is something that he always truly believes.
No, that's not true.
And if you see the end of his, I assume that you've read his statement, and you look at the end of that statement, and he actually says that in the first line in the last paragraph, and respects the thinking and how the American people will actually see this in his decision making.
Unreal.
And I would encourage everyone to read in full the president's statement. I think he lays out his
thought
process.
Please don't ask me. Go read the statement.
He lays out how he came to this decision. He came to this decision this weekend.
Not true.
So let's be very clear about that.
Not
he
true.
Says it himself. It's in his voice.
Not true.
He said he came to this decision this weekend.
Not true.
And he said he wrestled with this.
Not true.
And because he believes in the justice system.
Not true.
But he also believes that the war politics infected the process and led to a miscarriage of justice.
Say it with me. Not true. None of that is true. She's lying as usual. Now, you know, she was on a plane doing this little gaggle. Fascinating. They couldn't get any cameras there. No cameras. This is an audio only. I mean, when she has to come out and answer questions like this, it's audio only. More questions about this exact same thing, because one thing that the New York Times even noted was it seems like there's now broad agreement by both Donald Trump and Joe Biden that the Biden DOJ is politicized, because this, remember, these charges did not come from Donald Trump. They came from Joe Biden's DOJ. Here is a question about that.
Does the president believe now and agree with President-elect Trump that the justice system has been weaponized for political purposes and that it needs root and branch reform?
No. Read the president's statement. Seriously, read the president's statement. He said he believes in the Department of Justice. He does.
He's lying.
He says it in his statement. He believes, he also believes that war politics infected the process and it led to a miscarriage of justice.
War politics?
He believes his son was unfairly targeted.
Second time
he said
that.
That what his political opponents have done to my son, that's his words, is cruel and enough is enough. He says he believes in the justice system. And I said both things. No, but both things. Well, I'm not going to. I could only speak for this president. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. Both things could be true. Right. And that's what he says. He says that the Department of Justice, he believes in the Department of Justice. He also believes that, politics infected the process here. It infected the process. And you saw that when the deal fell apart. And let's not forget,
Department
of Justice agreed on that deal. The president said if that deal had moved forward, he thought it would be a fair process.
Right.
And when that deal fell apart, his political opponents took credit for it. They took credit for it and didn't seem like they were going to stop.
He didn't know that in June 2024 that the Republicans were targeting Hunter Biden. He wasn't aware of that yet. Of course he knew all this. He knew all this was going on. These are just blatant lies. And I get, look, in some ways you feel kind of bad for Corinne Jean-Pierre here, because he's put her in an impossible situation. Now, she's too dumb to know it was going to happen to her. Anyone else would have known. But it's similar to the situation where you send Hillary Clinton out to do on the talk shows to talk about a vast right-wing conspiracy when you really know that you're, nailing Monica Lewinsky. It's like, you can't do that to her, right? You're putting her in that position. She's going to look like an idiot. Well, I mean, I guess not really a concern that she could look any dumber when we're talking about Corinne Jean-Pierre. But like, you made her go out there and say no on the pardon so many times, to the extent that maybe, I mean, she kind of a very infantile mind. Like, maybe she even believed it. And now she has to look like an idiot reversing it. Here's a little bit more with KJP.
The two of them were together this weekend. Did the president and Hunter discuss this possibility? Did they talk about this happening?
Say is he made this decision this weekend. He made it himself. I don't have anything else to discuss beyond that.
Sure enough, he's talking about Hunter.
I just don't have anything to discuss. I've been pretty consistent in not talking about private conversations that he's had with his family. I just don't have anything to say. Besides, the president made this decision this weekend, as he said in his statement, and he made this decision himself. Once he made this decision, he shared it with his senior staff.
That's brilliant. And finally, one more. This is about Trump and January 6th.
President-elect Trump has likened this to the case of the so-called January 6thers, the people who are in prison because of their role in January 6th. What do you think of that argument? And do you think that that's a fair parallel that he believes he shouldn't make?
Today I'm going to talk about the pardon. We've been very clear about January 6th. The president has been clear about that. He's spoken to that many times before. What we believe in this particular case is what is unprecedented is the way that his son was singled out.
And it's laughable. It really is laughable and pathetic in every single way. Look, this guy just lied over and over and over and over again and knew he was lying over and over and over and over again. And he waited until the moment where he did not, no longer needed the politics. He no longer needed your vote. He knew it would hurt him in an election or hurt Kamala eventually in an election. So he didn't tell you. He waited until after the election to tell you. Now, you might be like, well, why didn't he wait till the last day like most people do? And by the way, don't be surprised that more Biden pardons are coming on the last day or maybe before that. But like the reason he pulled the trigger on this one right now is a couple of things. His sentencing was coming up, one. But number two, he's also really old and God only knows if he's even going to make it till January 20th. So he wanted to make sure this was done. You know, why put his son through anymore, right? That's his justification for it. But, you know, now that he's not in political power, that stuff doesn't matter to him anymore. He'll just do whatever he wants. This is really who he is. This is who he is. He's a bad, corrupt guy. He's a Washington insider. And everything that you think about the worst politicians, that's who Joe Biden is. He's not some an old man who doesn't really, he doesn't really even know what's going on anymore. I mean, that's true to some extent. Like, I wouldn't trust him to figure out my change at a Starbucks. But I mean, I will say this guy knows corruption. He knows how to do this stuff. He's been manipulating these things for a very long time. And the fact that he wants to get his kid out of jail, it's something out of Succession, right? Like, this is not supposed to be the way politics works, but it is. And can we please shut up with the political persecution claims? You've been talking about this for, Trump's been talking about this. You've been laughing him out of the room, saying the Department of Justice is actually so pure. We can't even question it. It's wrong. It's anti-American to even question it. Oh, by the way, I'm going to reverse everything they did under my own Justice Department and go after him and free my son because I don't want him to have any more problems. It's ridiculous. And I will ask you this. What have you done for your kid lately? Because I don't know. I mean, I took my kid to an escape room this weekend. We went to an escape room. That was my big thing I did with my son this weekend. What have you done for your son? Because Joe Biden has given him 10 years of criminal immunity. I bet you've never done that for your kid. Maybe he is the best father out there, or maybe he's the worst president out there. So in another last-minute effort before leaving office, Joe Biden has authorized Ukraine to use missiles supplied by the United States for for strikes against Russia inside their territory. This comes from in response to the North Korean troops being positioned along Ukraine's border. It is a scary time for the world. I mean, all this is just to tell you we're in a very unstable period. And we don't know what's around the corner, that we are very vulnerable, especially until January 20th, at the very least. But I think even going past that, there's still a lot to unravel in the world. There is something you can do about that, though, and that is figure out your medical situation, because it's not just food, it's not just water, it's not just shelter, it's not just your Second Amendment rights. You need your medication as well. And the Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that can take care of this for you. They contain essential antibiotics that treat the most common bacterial infections, things that used to kill people all the time, but don't really anymore because we have antibiotics. But the problem is those antibiotics might not be there for you when you need them. Get your antibiotics for emergency use by just filling out a simple form online. You'll have it in case you need it. There are add-on options like EpiPens and ivermectin. They've got a new compounded version of ivermectin as well, only $30 if you want to add that onto your Jace case. Go to jace.com, jace.com. Enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is STU at jace.com, jase.com.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Big news day, big show today. I want to bring in Josh Hammer, senior editor at large for Newsweek and host of The Josh Hammer Show and America on Trial. Two great podcasts. Josh, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Always a pleasure, Stu. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I would love to get your reaction to what happened, President Biden pardoning his son, and I think one of the least surprising moves in American history. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, least surprising is exactly how I would describe it. I mean, Stu, you and I have been around the block a few times. I mean, I think we are both probably pretty cynical and jaded when it comes to American politics. So, you know, when Joe Biden and Karine Jean-Pierre are just repeatedly doing there is no world in which we will pardon Hunter Biden thing. I mean, there was never even a millisecond where I even came close to believing it. So I'm not even remotely surprised. This is the most unsurprising thing ever. I guess there are two kind of top level conclusions that I have. Nonetheless, one is nonetheless, this was just a repeated lie. Joe Biden has a lifelong career of being an inveterate liar. Anyone who doubts what I say there should go back and look at the tapes of him back in 1991 when it came to Clarence Thomas's U.S. Supreme Court confirmation hearing, where he was really leading the jihad on behalf of Anita Hill and those fabricated sexual harassment allegations. So he's been lying in the public sphere for a very, very long time. This is just one additional reminder of that. You know, I guess the second thing that a lot of people are also talking about is the fact that this is such a sweeping pardon, Stu.
Yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, Joe Biden could have said, oh, I looked into both these cases and the gun case, the tax case, I'm going to pardon him. No, that's obviously not what he did. I mean, he issued a fairly unprecedented in nature sweeping pardon. I've been thinking a lot about this over the past 24 hours or so. You know, there's really not a whole lot of precedent for this in American history of a sweeping decade-long pardon for any offenses committed against the United States or allegedly committed against the United States there. And the timing is obviously not a coincidence. Going back to January 2014, what happened in spring of 2014? Well, Hunter Biden joins the board of Burisma, no doubt for his knowledge about Baltic Sea oil and natural gas assets. I presume his subject matter expertise there. So I think what Joe Biden is really doing, Stu, is two things. One is he's obviously deeply senile at this point, but to the extent that he is still human at all, he probably harbors deep anguish and is ridden by guilt over the fact that his son turned out to be this horrific man that he has become there. That's probably psychologically what's going on here. Two, he's also making a move, a deeply cynical and self-serving move, but a move nonetheless for the presidential historians, his historical books. And what he's doing there is trying to preclude the Trump administration from issuing a new special counsel on the DOJ in day one in January 2025. To reopen the far-off foreign affairs stuff with Hunter Biden. He's basically trying to make sure that his name, his own name, Joe Biden, does not come up in a future deposition, in a future court case, a discovery, or anything like that there. So it's coming partially from this father psychological case, but he's also trying to make a long-term play for the history books. Little does Joe Biden realize that in shattering one more quote-unquote norm on his way out the door, he has indeed sealed his fate when it comes to the presidential historian's books, but perhaps not in the way that he intended.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, this was the return to normalcy candidate we were supposed to believe in 2020. And look at where we are. Anything but a return to normalcy. Let me go back to this sweeping nature of this pardon for a minute, because this is really interesting. I mean, even if you wanted to say, well, we're going to give them, we want to make sure we get everything. So let's call it 10 years. No, they went to 11 years to get to this date of January 1st, 2014. An 11-year overarching pardon, as you point out, really unprecedented in American history, and also like covering crimes we haven't even looked into. I mean, God only knows what else this guy actually did in those 11 years. This is something that is designed not just to shield Hunter Biden from crimes. This is to shield Joe Biden, probably Jim Biden, probably about five other Bidens we haven't talked about yet. This is really an amazing moment.
Yeah, no, I agree with every word that you just said. He is absolutely trying to make a self-serving play to shield his own name for the presidential historian's book. He's definitely trying to shield, obviously, Hunter, but also Jim Biden, really all the various tentacles of the Biden crime family there. And he really is corroborating and reifying and just outright clarifying so many of that which we on the right have said for years, which is that this family is profoundly and deeply corrupt. And at some point, they're going to pay their just comeuppance there. But, you know, the sweeping nature of this pardon, Stu, again, as a lawyer, I have to say, this is kind of like a constitutional law 101 hypothetical. I mean, it's kind of thing that you would actually ask to first year law students on a final exam. I mean, can the president of the United States actually do this? I struggle to think of a clear precedent for this in American history. It's just not the kind of thing, not just that you don't see every day, that you frankly see in any given presidential administration. It's not something that comes around, let alone to be the son of the president there. It's just a crazy, crazy, crazy unvarnished exercise in self-dealing, self-serving, corruption, venality. But again, it was also so at the same time, simultaneously, it was just so wholly unsurprising there. You know, one final thing that is just so funny to me. You're right that it was, you know, 10 and a half, 11 years, whatever the exact number was, which, again, I think was done to make sure to get on the other side of his joining the Burisma board in Ukraine. That seems fairly obvious to me. But, you know, he issued this around, what was it, 7:30, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Sunday evening. Yeah. But the pardon actually extended until the end of that day. So Hunter Biden literally had four more hours if he really wanted to get like one final kick in there. I mean, he could have gone ahead and trafficked drugs. I mean, he could have tried to commit all sorts of horrific crimes there if he wanted to in 4 hours there. So the lawyers didn't even phrase this pardon particularly well, to be honest with you. There was a glaring loophole that any law student could have pointed out as well. It's just a total about face. And again, I think it is something that historians are not going to view very fondly decades from now.
I got to say, if I was Hunter Biden, I had Hunter Biden's character, I would be mad at my dad to not give me another week. Like, give me another week of just unlimited crime. Like, this is, I mean, why not? I find this to be just absolutely just a fascinating situation. And I wanted to get you on as well to talk about like the history of this, because I gotta say, like, this doesn't feel very American. You know, this feels like it strikes me as like something, a power that the king would have. You know, this seems like British king era stuff where you could just kind of wipe away crimes of family members. I mean, is there something we should look at it as a constitutional amendment or something to limit this power? Because, I mean, Joe Biden's not going to be the only politician that's going to come up with this expansive view of it.
So look, presidents use the pardon power. It is what constitutional lawyers call a plenary power. So it is a pure, unadulterated power. It is not subject to a check from a coordinate branch of government, the Congress, the judiciary. There is no check on the pardon power. The framers did put it in the Constitution. It's right there in the Federalist Papers. It's right in there as a check on injustices that come about in the judicial process there. So to an extent, presidents have been doing this for a very long time. I mean, Donald Trump did it to an extent, definitely not to this level there, but he definitely issued some pardons in his final days in office of those who are close to the Trump family, to the Kushner family, people like that there. Again, this does happen to one extent or another every 4 years. One, they usually last until, or they usually wait until literally their final day or two in office. So I'm a little surprised that this didn't wait until at least after Christmas, until the new year or something like that there. The fact that it happened now is just a little curious. I guess it's because the actual sentencing was set to happen in a couple of weeks time there. And two, I guess, on the other hand, is to your point, Stu, yeah, it is kind of a kingly monarchical power to use it in this blatantly of a venal, self-serving fashion. I think that is what is different from pardons of people that are close to the family there. You know, in the past, maybe you have someone who had a rough situation, a court ultimately did not accept this argument there, and you want to commute the sentence or something because you see an injustice here or there. That's not what this is. That's not what this is. Again, Joe Biden could have chosen to do that if he wanted to. He could have just issued a simple pardon for the gun case and or the tax case. He could have just done one of the two. He didn't have to pardon both of them, but he went above and beyond that. He pardoned for 10 and a half, 11 years going back to January 2014. Again, he went way, way, way above what anyone was even thinking about doing in this particular case there. And, you know, it's just so, so gross for the same guy to accuse these of being politicized prosecutions, the same guy whose own special counsel, Jack Smith, literally 1 week ago today, last Monday, finally moved to withdraw his two federal prosecutions against Donald Trump in both Washington, D.C. and Florida. By the way, when Jack Smith moved to withdraw that case in D.C., he didn't even admit error. He continued, he's continuing unto his political grave and saying, you know, there's no mea culpa culpa here. I did nothing wrong. I'm just bound by precedent. So apparently all the lawfare against Donald Trump is not a politicized prosecution. But David Weiss, the special counsel here in Hunter Biden, him choosing not to pursue FARA and deliberately slow walking the 5-year statute of limitations on that crime while simultaneously finally recommending charges on gun and tax stuff. Apparently that's politicized. None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense other than the fact that this is just gross, gross D.C. inside the Beltway swampism, the very likes which Donald Trump was elected to combat.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he had the gall to say that this is a politicized prosecution that came out of Merrick Garland's mouth, like, it's just absolutely incredible. Let's go to the swamp, though, a little bit. You know, Trump has made a bunch of picks, a lot of them very good, a couple of them not as crazy about. But the big news breaker over the past 24 hours is Kash Patel going potentially to the FBI. This is a guy, if nothing else, who really wants to drain the swamp. What do you think of Kash?
I think it's a great pick. You know, this was rumored for a long time. There was a lot of speculation that Donald Trump would pick Kash Patel. I'm happy he did. Look, the FBI is the belly of the beast of everything that is wrong with the so-called deep state, of everything that is wrong with the intelligence community there. I mean, the FBI was the origins of the Russia collusion delusion, going all the way back to the 2016 campaign when Kevin Kleinsmith forged a FISA surveillance application to spy on Carter Page and George Papadopoulos. That was all through Jim Comey's FBI. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, you know, them texting about a so-called insurance policy to use the levers of the FBI to prevent Donald Trump, if need be, from becoming president of the United States. The Mueller probe. I mean, all of this goes back to the FBI there. So if you're going to actually act on the mandate that Donald Trump was given to drain the swamp, if you're going to do it in literally one bureau, one agency, I think the FBI is literally the one place where you definitely want to do it. So I'm actually very happy. I mean, apparently the other finalist was Mike Rogers, former congressman from Michigan there. You know, I have nothing personally against Mike Rogers. I'm sure he's a very good man, but something of a company man, someone who has served in the FBI for large swaths of his life there. You know, if you're trying to take a bulldozer and you want someone to actually come in with a sledgehammer to actually do that which you campaigned on to drain the swamp, then Kash Patel is totally that kind of pick. But, you know, he's also not a total outsider either, Stu. I mean, this is someone who actually has served in the intelligence community. He has been a prosecutor. He was actually a prosecutor during the Obama administration. So if anything, he actually has some bipartisan street cred as well. So I look forward to him getting confirmed. I think Christopher Wray will probably do the right thing and resign there. And I think it's a very good pick by Donald Trump, frankly.
Do you think Patel will get through? I mean, he is. You're right. He was in the during Obama. You'd think he'd have some bipartisan support. That does not strike me, though, as the actual situation.
He probably will get confirmed without a single Democratic vote, if I had to guess. I mean, Republicans have 53 votes. I think Murkowski-Collins will probably be an uphill battle. I could see a world in which a Susan Collins maybe goes along for the ride. But I think he'll get through with 50 or 51 votes, if I had to guess.
All right. Josh Hammer, senior editor at large for Newsweek. Be sure to catch him on The Josh Hammer Show and America on Trial. Josh, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Stu.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
I was in Miami in, I think it was like, you know, 2021, maybe late 2020. And there was a buzz in the city because everybody who was there had a bunch of crypto money that they were blowing all over the city. And it was like this thing where, like, if you wanted to get, you know, charter a yacht, it was hard because everyone was going after yachts at that time. So much money was flowing in. Well, we're back in that period. And honestly, we're a lot higher than that period was when it comes to crypto. Crypto investors are reaping the rewards of the Trump bump and spending big on jets, cars, and watches to celebrate. Obviously, Bitcoin, I don't know what it is today, but it's been in the 90s for the past few weeks, 90,000 area. Almost, it got to 99,870, I think, before it came down. So it never actually officially hit 100,000, but right around there. So that money is still flowing quite a bit. We also have some pretty huge news here at the Blaze. We didn't have anything to do with it, but Glenn did. Glenn Beck's daughter, who has been has ties to Eastern Idaho, this is from Eastern Idaho news source, is making her debut as a singer in a new Christmas album, and that is true. However, how successful it's been is really the news. Here it is, number one on the top 100 Christmas albums chart, right ahead of Christmas by Michael Bublé. Also ahead of the Philly Special, Philly Specials, the Eagles and Jason Kelsey's band. They do a little Christmas album every year, or at least the last few years they have. And that gets a lot of press, especially obviously in Philly. But Jason Kelsey, kind of a guy who gets a decent amount of publicity these days. Pretty incredible that she's beating him. I saw her first performance of these songs last night here in Texas. And her next performance is in Nashville at the Grand Ole Opry. So that'll be interesting here in a couple of weeks. Glenn, very excited about that as well. Finally, we have San Francisco to pay $212 million to end reliance on 5 1/4 inch floppy disks. You remember those? Like the ones that, like you kind of, you put them, yeah, there's a good picture of them right there. That giant hole in the middle, like it was like very early. It wasn't even like the, what was it, 3 1/4 inch that came later, or 3 1/2 inch that came later. They were hard plastic. It's not even those. They're using the ones before that, the 5 1/4. We talked about this, and this is just government efficiency in inefficiency in action. You just spend $200 million just to not use floppy disks. That's basically what's going on. And this is still going on, by the way, in our airports and with the FAA. We did this special called Countdown to the Next Aviation Disaster. It's up at blazeoriginals.com/stew. If you use the code DEI, you can save $30 off your annual subscription. We talk a lot about the DEI problems, but also just the fact that, like, the technological challenges to these airports when you're flying around the country, they're like inserting those floppy disks into the computers still to this day with the FAA. We talk about that with an expert just to kind of go over how insane that is, because it's not just the DEI stuff. It's just the general government incompetence multiplied by the horrible technology that was never replaced. It is a disaster in the making. That's why it's called Countdown to the Next Aviation Disaster. Check it out. BlazeOriginals.com/stew. BlazeOriginals.com/stew. Code is DEI. So you might be feeling pretty good about where the country is heading right now after the election and everything, but there's still reason to be concerned, because when we let our guard down, that's when bad things tend to happen. That's why you got to prepare for emergencies, no matter how good or comfortable life can get. And the only brand that I ever rely on for security and safety in when it comes to emergency food is my Patriot Supply. We've been talking about these guys for years and years and years and years and years, because they're the ones that do it the best. Whether that be, emergency food kits or solar power generators, water treatment systems, they're the best in the business. They've got this all figured out. They've had it figured out for a long time. And right now, you can get their 4-week emergency food kit for $50 off. This is 4 weeks of emergency food. Includes great meals like creamy Alfredo pasta, like sweet banana chips. My wife went through a banana chip phase like about 6 months ago. All she ate, I swear, for like 3 months. With warehouses like, that are located all over the country, My Patriot Supply can send your 4-week emergency kit in like, I don't know, as little as 1 day. They'll get it to you fast. So go to preparewithstew.com, preparewithstew.com. Get your 4-week emergency food kit right now. It is preparewithstew.com. Don't wait. Emergencies can happen anytime. Preparewithstew.com. Get your 4-week emergency food kit now. Did I put that $2.15 billion? Do you know? I don't know. Kamala seemed to have dropped it on the ground, or at least lit it on fire. She spent $2.15 billion along with Joe Biden for the first few hundred million of that was Joe Biden. But Democrats are kind of like, hey, where'd all that money go? James Carville now asking for an audit of the Harris campaign spending. Kind of an important question. I mean, if you raise $2.15 billion, you can be reasonably expected to win an election. But not what happened with Kamala this time. Now, the reaction and the ramifications of these elections are kind of reverberating throughout society right now. California lawmakers are beginning to begin a special session to Trump-proof their state laws, assuming that Trump will come after them. Newsom, who is obviously running for president in 2028, basically already, this is step one in doing so, he is trying to show that he's the tough guy that can stand up to Donald Trump and the MAGA movement. So we will see where that goes. And then we also have this one, women taking a step. They're getting sterilized after the Trump victory. It's the only option, they say. And that's because what if they get pregnant and then they can't, you know, abort the kid? I mean, in theory, they'd have to have the kid, and that would be just horrible. So what they're doing is they are five women who have undergone sterilization procedures or plan to in the wake of Donald Trump's victory on November 5th. They express their reproductive choices will be taken from them under the Trump administration. Now, of course, 30 states, 35 states still have very loose election abortion laws. Of course, our neighbors to the north and the south have them as well. You could get them all over the world. You could get abortions in the United States, but they're going to sterilize themselves because the possible chance they would get pregnant and need an abortion and not be able to get one. Interesting decision-making process. And one, by the way, I want to make sure I am clear on this. I fully support. You want to talk bipartisanship, both everybody on the right plus these crazy women on the left. We all want them to be sterilized. So that's good. Everyone's going in the right direction.